Well, hi there. It's a new week, and we're shifting gears with this, episode 358 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, and going forward, we're now reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. We've completed the reading of the books of poetry and wisdom. When we get to them, as we progress through the reading of the Old Testament, we'll skip them and then just jump to the next unread books and continue right on through to the end of the Old Testament. We will, however, restart the New Testament when we complete the reading in a few weeks. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read, and I try to average about 10 minutes per show. Today is a track 2 day, and we'll begin the 5-chapter book of James. Here's a bit of background on the book. The author is not James, the son of Zebedee, one of the 12 disciples. We know this because Herod had that James killed, as recorded in Acts 12. It is thought by some that this James was actually the half-brother of Jesus. His mother was Mary, and his father would have been Joseph. So he grew up in the same household as Jesus, but as you'll hear in the opening verses, he only introduces himself as the slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't make any big deal at all about the fact that he is the brother of Jesus. The audience for this book is the 12 tribes, or Jews, who have been dispersed to various places. We'll also see that it applies to the entire body of Christ. Its purpose is to call us to holy and right living, among other things that will become evident as we read. Our translation this week is the New Living Translation. Let's begin. James chapter 1. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true Word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. James chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there, or else sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who opposes you and drags you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the Scriptures, "Love your neighbor as yourself." But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, "You must not commit adultery," also said, "You must not murder." So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well." But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, "Some people have faith, others have good deeds." But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the Scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. May God bless the reading of His Word. After James writes his greeting, he immediately launches into the subject of dealing with difficulties. The Jews, believers in Jesus and otherwise, had been scattered and under all sorts of persecutions. James wanted them to know that hard times are meant to grow our faith. I think it's actually appropriate to read this right after we completed Job, don't you? Given what we read in Job, I don't think it's necessary to camp on this point, except to say that when something is repeated in Scripture, it's because God really wants us to understand that it's important. There's no doubt that difficulties arise in every life. James wants us to see that God can and does use those times for our benefit. Don't let anyone tell you that you must have done something wrong if you're going through the fire. And then he goes on to say that just hearing the Scriptures is not enough. Don't think that by going to church or reading the Bible or listening to this podcast for that matter is enough to make you righteous. You must act on what you hear. The Word has to make a difference in your life. You must take action on what you hear. Then in the next chapter, he talks about valuing some people over others and how that is not what we should do. Each person has value, whether rich or poor, important in the eyes of men or insignificant. In God's eyes, we're all the same. There are no celebrities in heaven. And then James 2:14 through 20 has caused a lot of controversy over the years. But in my mind, it's quite clear. The message is this: if you say you love God, but your life doesn't show it, you are fooling yourself. To expand on that thought, if I love God, I'm going to just naturally begin to do things that show the love of God. I don't do those things to gain God's favor, and I don't do them to earn points in heaven. I do them because He has changed who I am. If I'm the same person I've always been, then I have not truly met Jesus, and I'm still lost. The example James gives is that of Abraham. He said he had faith, but until he showed that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, his faith was incomplete. It was only when he raised the knife to sacrifice his son that God pronounced him complete. And then, as James quoted from the Old Testament, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And James says that Abraham was called the friend of God. And for those of you that may not know that complete story, God stopped Abraham before he brought the knife down. He did not actually let Abraham sacrifice Isaac. Okay, moving on. Now, don't misunderstand. We are saved by faith alone. There is nothing we can do to earn any part of our salvation. Zero, nada, nothing. But unless my faith results in a changed life, that faith is worthless. Because a true faith in God fills us with the Holy Spirit, who brings about the fruit of the Spirit that was talked about by Paul in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit just naturally grows on the tree, right? The apple tree doesn't have to try to grow apples, it just does. Same with the fruit of the Spirit. If you have truly become a new person by yielding yourself to Jesus, then these things will become evident in your life. How's the fruit harvest in your life? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 358.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWeb_ and put a hashtag there of Lifespring Media. Are you subscribed to the show? Be sure you use your favorite podcast app, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, whatever. That's the most convenient way to be sure you get every episode. Tomorrow we're back in the Old Testament and the book of 2 Samuel. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.